Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. Hey, I want to give a real quick shout out to my friends over at Terra Grappler. If you've never experienced Terra Grappler wrestling shoes, then you're missing out. You see, Terra Grappler has been re-engineering the standard wrestling shoes for about the last 3 years. Their comfy and stretchy Mattiform integrated sock-like layer is something you can't live without once you've tried it. I use Terra Grapplers, Zahid Valencia uses Terra Grapplers, and all I got to say is this, there's certainly something different to the feel versus traditional wrestling shoes. And for those of you listening now, you can actually get $10 off a pair of Terra Grappler wrestling shoes by using the code COACHP10. The code is COACHP10. Experience them for yourself. I promise you won't be disappointed. All right. Hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. Today, I have Jesse Porter with me, who is one of our top U.S. Greco wrestlers, one of the top Greco-Roman wrestlers in the world, just won the U.S. Olympic team trials, so gets to go rep the U.S. Jesse, man, thanks for being on.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, you bet. So, hey, let's do this, man, so that our audience, and we have a lot of wrestlers and coaches, but also businessmen, people from all walks of life that listen to this podcast. Tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, and then like how you got into wrestling.
Yeah, so, I'm a New York native. I'm from upstate New York. That's where I currently am now. That's home for me. I went to college at Northern Michigan University. I'm still currently there. I'm in my graduate program right now, getting my MBA. And so that's currently, I also graduated in entrepreneurship. So very business oriented mind. But I got into wrestling because of my dad. You know, my whole family wrestles. I have two sisters and a mother and a father, and my mom wrestled, my dad wrestled, and my two sisters also wrestle. So, it was kind of like a family thing for me. And my dad was a Greco guy, so he got me into Greco. And, I liked it early on. I liked what the identity that wrestling gave you as a sport. And I liked what kind of person it was making me. So that's kind of why I stuck with it. I really, early on, like I was different from a lot of other kids within wrestling because I did mostly Greco-Roman and freestyle. That was my main focus, you know, why most kids in my state, especially New York, were doing folk style. New York is a very folk style oriented state. So I was different in that respect. And a lot of people knew me because of what I did, in freestyle and Greco, what I did at Fargo and things of that nature. But that's kind of what my upbringing was. It's kind of, my background, and that kind of brings me to today, I guess.
Having an entire family of wrestlers. My dad is a National Hall of Fame wrestling coach in Oklahoma. I came from a wrestling background, but having like everybody in your family wrestle, it's awesome. And that's kind of crazy. So I can only imagine the conversations that go on home, went on at home, the scraps that happened in the living room floor, those type of things, which is absolutely awesome. Now, did you do any other sports growing up?
Yeah, I did gymnastics really early on, right? Really, really early on. I did gymnastics when I was like around 8 years old. So kind of when I started wrestling, actually, because I started wrestling when I was eight. Okay. Gymnastics a little before that when I was like 6 years old, and then kind of until I was 10. I also did a little bit of swimming back then too, not competitively, but I did, I was taking lessons And I think there was maybe one more, but I, you know, it was kind of smaller, so I don't even remember it. But those sports kind of fell off to the wayside once I really started picking up in wrestling. And in wrestling, as you know, like to be really good, you have to commit all your time to the sport. So that's exactly what I did, you know, approaching 12 years old, 13 years old. So,
yeah. But tell me about the pathway, the journey going to Northern Michigan, because there are very few places in the U.S. that college wise that just say like, hey, we have a Greco program. If you want to be a college athlete, you can come here, you can train. A lot of people think freestyle Greco, you got to be at the training center or you got to go that route. But so tell me about like the draw to Northern Michigan and then kind of how that's helped you in the process.
Yeah. So it was interesting because when I first started, when I went to Northern Michigan University, it was known as like the only place to go in the United States. It was the only place that you get an education and wrestle Greco-Roman full-time. There was nowhere else to go, right? So it was extremely exclusive. The best Greco-Roman wrestlers in the United States were there, right? Because it was the only place to go. And that's kind of where it was at. There wasn't a lot of choice for me to go anywhere else. And now there's RTCs all over the place, you know? There's a lot more opportunities to go other places, to get sponsored by other clubs. But that's kind of how the environment was for me when I started. And I'm glad that it's different now. I'm really happy to see, you know, Greco-Roman and wrestling as a whole grow, right? And I think that it'll continue to do that over the next couple of years here. But you know, when I was going into it, I was excited to go and wrestle Greco, but like I just wish that it was in a different spot, because like Northern Michigan University wasn't really, it's kind of just a cold, desolate place, you know. It's good for training. Like it's good to like kind of keep me focused because it was such a cold, desolate place. It kind of, there was nothing to do but focus on training really. So that, you know, that's kind of how it was.
Yeah. I've always kind of felt that way growing up in the Midwest, and during the wintertime, you know, we're going to Iowa to wrestle, we're going to Nebraska. And I'm like, man, I know why these people are great at wrestling. Like they have nothing else to do. There's like cornfields and snow during the wintertime. So like you said, you just focus on training. So real quick, give us just, and you don't have to go real detail, but for those who are listening who have zero idea, they don't have a Greco background at all, what's the difference between Greco and freestyle Greco or even folk style, since most people are folk style, but give us just a quick little rundown.
Yeah, so basically folk style is going to be the main difference is that if you turn your back to the mat exposure, there's no points in folk style. And that's the main difference between folk style and freestyle and Greco, is that if you freestyle and Greco, if you turn your mat towards the mat or turn your back towards the mat, that's exposure. So that's points. Like, for example, if your back, let's say this top of my hand is my back, it rolls and this is the mat under here. It rolls and you see exposure, right? That's going to be points in freestyle and Greco, while it's not points in folk style. Also in folk style, you start in referee's position, right? And you're immediately trying to stand up. In traditionally in freestyle and Greco, you actually start on your belly, right? And then your whole gig is to defend, right? You're not actually trying to stand up. You're trying to defend, because if you stand up, you make yourself vulnerable to throws and suplexes, right? So that's another big difference. As far as like large differences between folk style and freestyle and Greco, like those are really the biggest ones. I think the last one may be that there are no push-out points in folk style. So there's push-out points in freestyle and Greco. So if your opponent pushes you out offensively, right? Offensively means they're taking a move and you run out of bounds, right? Then that's going to be a point for them, right? Greco specifically is all upper body. So that puts it, that's what like makes it different from freestyle and folk style. It's just like freestyle, right? Greco is just like freestyle. Everything that I described, it has all those characteristics. The only difference is in Greco is that you cannot use the legs offensively. You cannot use the legs offensively. You're not supposed to use them defensively either. So it's just really no legs. You're all in you stand erect, right? You're fighting upper body in Greco. So that's kind of really the big difference there.
Yeah. So, you know, if we look nationwide, of course, folk style kind of dominates because it is the style that we do in high school. It's the style that we do in college. And then you kind of have an exclusive group of people that wrestle freestyle and Greco spring, summer, you know, and then of course, then we're like narrowing it down big time going to guys that are on your level. But, you know, Greco, people don't know as much about Greco as they know about freestyle. It's not advertised as much. We don't get to see it as much. So being one of the top Greco wrestlers in the US and in the world, you know, tell me about and also I love it because having this entrepreneurial mindset, tell me about some of the things that you foresee in the future that you want to do to really give the, to give exposure, the it's due, right? The due exposure to Greco-Roman.
Yeah, well, growing up, like I kind of knew like that. I kind of noticed, right? I know as a kid, it was funny because no one really told me that Greco didn't get any attention and that it was going to, nobody told me that it was going to be really, really, really hard. And you were going to get about 90% less attention than everyone else. Nobody told me that, right? I just started to kind of notice it, right? I was just like, why do these guys get so much attention and I don't get anything? Like, why do they get this and I get that? And why this and why that, right? And I started asking these questions, you know, but really, it definitely, after a while, it turned into fuel, right? And it turned into something that drove me to want to achieve more. And I think that, you know, early on, I thought that, hey, you know, the way that I can bring more exposure to wrestling is just by being a really good Greco wrestler, you know, winning more than anybody else, anybody in freestyle, anybody else in this, you know, be a really good Greco wrestler. And, you know, recently I've now figured out that there's actually more that you can do than just be a good wrestler. I think that in order to really close that gap, right, and get Greco the exposure it needs, I think every wrestler needs to understand that, you know, with the responsibility of training and being prepared for your matches, you also have the responsibility to be an advocate for the sport. And I think that's important to realize because that's what really sets us wrestlers apart from a lot of other sports, is that we're all in this unique experience where we all do this thing that's really, really hard to do and also doesn't get any attention, right? Doesn't get any attention. Hardly any of us get paid, you know? So I think that we're all in that unique experience kind of makes us a closer and stronger community, actually. It's kind of funny how it works. Because I've seen this throughout the whole wrestling community. We all have this stronger sense of community than I don't see it in other communities. I just don't. And a lot of other wrestlers too, even like, I've talked to a lot of first year wrestlers, right? Where they came in and they immediately noticed that difference. They immediately noticed the difference in the community. So, you know, there definitely is a difference in that community. I think that in itself has value. And I think, you know, it just that value hasn't been recognized yet, right? It hasn't really been advertised and capitalized on, to be frank, right? It hasn't been capitalized on. So I think that, you know, for me and all wrestlers, all Greco wrestlers, what we can do is not only be fantastic wrestlers, but also advocate for the sport. There's many different creative ways to do that. And most of them involve social media, right? And these are things that wrestlers can be doing to grow their brand, right? But when you're growing your brand, right? When you're growing your brand and you're actually doing this stuff for yourself, you're not just doing it for yourself. You're doing it for the sport. Like, you're giving Greco more exposure. So it's actually win-win. It's win-win, right? It's a win-win because it's going to help you. It's going to help the sport. And, you know, I talk about this a lot where I found creative ways to be an advocate for the sport. Like, I have a meme page that I started on Instagram, right? And basically that's my way to be kind of have like a lighthearted approach to spreading awareness with the sport, right? And so, you know, I'll make like quirky jokes about like how, you know, people call singlets leotards and how you know, wrestlers they're always saying, oh, you mean wrestling with the chairs? You know, I make all those little jokes in the memes and everything. And like I said, just a lighthearted way to spread more awareness and at the same time, you know, build a brand for myself and make wrestling more profitable for myself. And I think that that's a good win-win that a lot of wrestlers aren't actually using and aren't actually taking advantage of, you know? And I think that, you know, that motivating factor, right, of knowing that you're making wrestling profitable, right? You're going out there and you're making that happen, right? You're not just saying, oh, well, I wish wrestling was more popular, right? Or I wish wrestling was, you're actually going out there, not only becoming a better wrestler, but you're making wrestling more popular yourself, right? I think that that's what wrestling teaches you. It teaches you to take responsibility for your life and responsibility for what's happening to you. And I think that it actually makes us better wrestlers in order to do those things, because it motivates us more. It motivated me more, right? It motivated me more to work harder in wrestling by showing that, you know, hey, I can make wrestling profitable. I can grow my brand and I can do these things. You know, I can make it more popular. And so, yeah, like I said, I think it really goes hand in hand. A lot of people think, oh, that I don't have time to do this, or I don't have time to grow my brand and everything. It's like, yes, you do. Yes, you do have time to do it. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to help your training too. It's going to help your training. It's going to help you become a better wrestler. It's going to make you more motivated. So that's kind of my spiel on that.
Yeah, no, that's huge. And that's absolutely right on. You know, if we look at freestyle, right? So look at JB, he's grown his brand huge. I mean, got Polo, you got people on board that traditionally would not be connected with wrestling, and his social media is awesome. Nation Garrett is like taking off with all of his funny songs he's putting on, you know, and his social media. Yeah. Yep. So, you know, you guys are super high level wrestlers, but like you said, now you have a platform and you have the ability and almost a responsibility to help grow it. I know for us, like my high school wrestling team, we did this years ago. So we have our own rap song. We have our own team song we come out to. We have, you know, just a spotlight. We run out of a tunnel like they do in football. Each wrestler has walk-up songs to the mat. We try to make it hype. Now I got to tell my wrestlers, like, none of this is for you. Like, you just got to go out and just do your job. But I want someone who's never seen wrestling to walk in and watch it and leave going, I'm not sure what I just saw, but that was awesome. And we get that a lot, you know, same thing with social media. We hype it up on social media. And so really trying to build that platform, that exposure, so people know about our great sport, which is awesome. So let's talk about this, man, 'cause I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about this. You know, you're in phenomenal shape, like all high level wrestlers are, but tell me and I love to study high level human beings and what their performance habits are. So what's a day in the life of Jesse Porter look like, man? Like, as far as like maybe a morning routine, some eating, some working out, those type of, some of your non-negotiable habits.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. I love talking about this stuff because, like, yeah, I think anybody that's successful does the same thing. You know, we all like to talk to other people, see what they're doing. And I love sharing stuff to make other people more successful too. But like, there's a couple of things, you know. I think if I were to kind of go through a day, I mean, I do very repetitive things. Obviously right now I have a game plan, right? I'm currently in the process of kind of like building and adapting my game plan, right? Because I had a game plan before the trials, worked very nicely. And then there was a couple holes that I need to address, right? So basically right now is I'm taking the game plan I had before and I'm just kind of adapting it for some of the mistakes that I had in this other tournament. And then I'm going to execute that at the next tournament, which is going to be a qualifying tournament for me. But for me, when I wake up, you know, I'm doing things like meditation, cold showers, you know, journaling and things of that nature. All these other things that you hear, like these gurus online talk about all the time. Like, it's funny because a lot of people get lost and then they go, oh, none of that stuff will work. They're just like, that's just like commercialism BS, right? And this funny thing is that it's not like that, because the truth is always like half seen, right? They always take the truth, half of the truth, and then they add on their stuff to it, right? So just because a lot of gurus are talking about it and they're trying to sell you something doesn't mean some of the stuff that they're saying isn't right. You know, the truth doesn't work like that. The truth is just everywhere. It's kind of buried underneath everything and weaved within. And it's your job to kind of pull everything out, right? And usually what you see is like, yeah, when you talk to other successful people, you'll see them doing all the same things, you know? And so, like I said, one of the things, that I talk a lot about on my interviews, and one of the things that's really, really drove me and I think has caused a lot of my recent success, is figuring out my why, right? I think that after 2020, right, after this year, a lot of things happened during 2020, and you know, some people may have come out, you know, awfully on the bad side. A lot of people came out on the good side out of the year, you know, and some people, maybe nothing changed, right? But I can tell you, for me, it forced me to think about why I was doing things. That's what 2020 did, because there was a period of time where a lot of things changed for me, because I was so used to, I was almost like sleepwalking a little bit, just wrestling and doing school. And this is one thing I want to talk to a lot of the younger kids about, because school has a way of doing that. It has a way of letting you sleepwalk, right? Because it's very easy to get caught up in, oh, I got an A. I mean, you feel good about that, and kind of just keep going through the motions without actually looking around and asking the really important questions, right? Why am I going to school? Why am I learning these things? How am I going to use them? How am I going to apply them, right? And so when 2020 rolled around, and there was a period of time where I just didn't have school, it just wasn't there, right? Because of everything that happened, I just didn't have any school. And then I didn't have any training either, right? So no school, no training, right? For like 2 or 3 months. Right? What am I to do? Right? I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Like, there's nothing else to do. I don't know. I want to try to get better at wrestling or whatever, and maybe try to learn some stuff, because I feel like I should be learning something. Right? So I just started getting online and shifting through stuff. And that's kind of where it started, because I started seeing all this other information that I didn't know about, some recent information, right? What all these other people that never went to college, right? And are figuring out, like, how entrepreneurship is done. A lot of stuff about finance, a lot of stuff about, what else was I getting into? Cryptocurrencies, blockchain, all kinds of stuff, right? And so and at that point, when I was going back to school, I was like, well, it's too late. I know too much now. Like, I know too much. I'm not going to stop learning. And that's kind of what it started for me. But like I said, I'm getting off the trail. I figured out my why during 2020, right? I figured out why I'm actually wrestling, why I'm actually doing the things that I'm doing. That's what I figured out of the year. And I feel like in order for anybody to keep working extremely hard for long periods of time, they need to have that strong why as a foundation, right? So I really think that that's one of the most important things to go back and do, is figure out why you're doing the things you're doing. And a lot of the times, what is funny about the why process is that it is hard to ask these questions, and your brain doesn't actually want you to find the answers. Like, your brain isn't programmed to let you find these answers. It's programmed to keep you safe, right? It's programmed to keep you safe. It's programmed to not let you do anything that may be dangerous, right? It's trying to keep you from getting hurt, you know, mentally and physically, right? So you'll run into that when you're trying to find your why. And it helps to have somebody or basically mentors to actually help you through that process, because you'll start getting these doubts in your head, right? When you actually find your why, there will be this big, big doubt in your head saying, like, who the hell are you to think that you can actually achieve that, right? Like, you're just some kid from Albany, New York. Like, how would you ever be able to achieve something that large? No one else has ever done that. Have you seen anybody else? You'll get doubts like that, right? But what people don't understand is that is normal. That is normal. It's okay to have that doubt. It's okay to have that doubt in your head. It's just, you need to know how to manage it, how to compartmentalize it, and, you know, and shelf it essentially, and say, you know what? It's okay that I have that doubt, but you're gonna be shelved right here, because you're not actually helping me achieve the goal, right? And every action that I do every single day is compounding in the direction of my dreams, right? And it's making that doubt smaller and smaller and smaller every single day. And that applies to everybody's goals. That's like universal, how everyone should think about it. So
yeah, no, that's huge. And anybody listening, go back and take notes right there. Go back and make sure you write those things down. But yeah, so one of the things I say in this, probably almost every episode of the show, is this: principles are principles. Once you know them, you can apply them, right? Once you know them, they apply everywhere. They apply in wrestling, they apply in business, they apply in relationships. And so, but it's getting out of your comfort zone, finding those principles, doing that discovery process on your own, having that growth mindset. I thought it was really interesting. You said, you know, connecting your why to, so people that are really good at things are highly consistent. That can kind of, you know, kind of become boring for after a while. But So a couple of years ago, grit was the big word. And John Gordon, who's a famous author, works with a lot of high-level athletes and teams. He said, so grit is essentially when you're doing things that aren't necessarily the sexy or fun things, and you're just doing them over and over and over because that's what you got to do to be great. But he said to really drive that, like, you need love. And you need to have, like, love for wrestling. You got to have love for something that kind of really drives it. So once you find your why. So what is for you, man, for Jesse Porter, like, what is your big why?
Yeah. So basically the why that I tell him, like, is I don't go into the larger why, because a lot of people think I'm crazy. So I don't usually go into that. But for the sake of, like, answering your question, there is another why that I can get to. And it is still a very, very big driving factor, especially immediately, right? Because if you break down whys, when you have a why, it breaks down into levels. And it goes all the way down into what you're doing right now, right? So internally, one of the whys that I have is I want to make wrestling more profitable for not only me, but for other wrestlers. I want wrestlers to start showing that they are valuable to society. I want society to start accepting wrestlers as somebody that, you know, are accepting our art, accepting our craft as valuable, right? That's really what I want to see happen for the sport of wrestling, especially for Greco wrestlers. You know, I think that's one of the first steps, is that wrestling as a sport needs to accept Greco in order for society to accept wrestling, right? Wrestling needs to accept Greco for society to accept wrestling. And so that's one of my really, really big whys, is I want to make it more profitable. I want to make it more profitable for other wrestlers. I want to see other wrestlers do well financially and achieve these dreams that other sports, you know, afford these opportunities, right? Football, basketball, golf, soccer, they afford these opportunities to their craft, right? But they're not afforded to us, right? So I want to see that happen for a lot of other wrestlers. And I want to see other wrestlers get the opportunity to live a life of financial independence and financial freedom. So that's one of my really big whys. And I, like I said, one way to do that, win, right? One way to do that, win. Another way to do that, advocate. Win, advocate. And that's what I've been doing. So,
yeah, and it's big. I mean, I think maybe a lot of people, wrestlers know those people, maybe outside of wrestling, don't know it as much. But I think back to my college days, and I remember I'm training with some guys in the off season who are on the Olympic ladder in freestyle. And these guys would come in, we would train. They literally, and this was, you know, early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s. These guys literally were like living in trailers, living off of tuna fish and eggs. I mean, there weren't the sponsorships that are available now. They basically, I remember like thinking in my mind, like, man, if I don't think I can be one of the top guys, I don't know if I want to do that, man. These dudes are, they're literally like just roughing it right now. There are a lot more opportunities today, I think, because of social media. But wrestling still has a long ways to go and to grow in that area. For you guys who are going to go and represent the United States, you guys are going to be the best wrestlers out there to really be able, like you said, to earn a living while you're doing it, and then beyond, you know, it's huge. And it's just going to grow our sport. It's going to benefit our sport. So I love it, man. All that's big. Okay. So once you get done, let's say that, I don't know what your overarching goals are, man, but I hope you win an Olympic goal, but let's say you win a couple of them, and at some point your wrestling career is done as a competitor. What's the next steps for you? Like, where do you see yourself going after that?
I'm definitely looking to create more freedoms in a lot of different areas, right? Because like I said, I talked about financial freedom, right? And there's other different times of there's other types of freedoms, right? So that will really, you know, talking about it abstractly, that's what I'll be looking to do. I'll be looking to create other freedoms for many people, right? Because there are lots of things, like, let's say for example, time, that really limit us right now. And those are going to be the things that I'm going to basically look to attack things that limit our freedom. And I'll kind of leave it at that right now, but that's really what I'll be looking to do after my wrestling career. Use my wrestling career, because it's all connected. Use my wrestling career to kind of shift me into that world. So
yeah, excellent. All right, Jesse, hey, where can people follow you? Tell me about your meme page, and where can we follow you on social media?
Yeah. So I got a meme page, Elite Wrestling Memes, Elite, and then Wrestling, like WRASLIN, so like slang, and then memes with three Z's. So really, really creative name, right? But yeah, Elite Wrestlemes is my main page. And then you can follow me on Instagram. My personal is JP Wrestling. So just like the wrestling, but just like JP and wrestling. And also you can follow me on Twitter. My Twitter is jporter_2015.
Okay, and I'll make sure I put all those in the show notes, man. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on. Appreciate you. I'm cheering for you. I know so many of us in the U.S. are cheering for you. We're big fans, love what you're doing, and glad you get the opportunity to go out and represent us. Appreciate you being on, man. Everybody's listening. May God bless you, smile upon you, and give you peace. Till next time, we're out. Hey, before you go, I just want to tell you thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Coach P's Perspective. And then a couple things that I would ask. One is hit the subscribe button. That way, every single time a new episode comes out, man, as soon as you open up your podcast app, it is right there, ready to roll. You can listen to a new one. The second is, if you would, and we earned it, give us a 5-star review, a quick written review, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts, that's great. You know, one of the ultimate goals is to grow this show and to positively impact as many people as possible, and that helps. And then lastly, jump over to lanefrostbrand.com. Visit my friends over there. You know, this is an incredible company. Family owned, operated, honoring the late, great Lane Frost, who is, you know, a former rodeo champion, was one of my idols growing up. And this is one of my absolute favorite companies. So if you need ball caps, t-shirts, all kinds of apparel, again, go over to lanefrostbrand.com and check them out. Thank you guys again. Much love and God bless.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. Dip with a new step, CSL rep, pop, lock and rock. Coach P, who never stops.